Tonight, James enslaves the human race. Mike hunts down strangers with candy, and we cut it short.
Hey, this is James from ShrapPunk.com.
Hey, this is Couch Potato Mike from ShrapPunk.com.
Couch Potato Mike. How are you doing?
I am recovering from Halloween.
And Thanksgiving.
And Thanksgiving, all wrapped up into one day.
Our listeners are just like, what?
Yes, I'm not going to be in town for Thanksgiving, therefore I can't cook my traditional Thanksgiving dinner with my magnificent turkey that everybody seems to love for some reason. So, because of that, I cooked Thanksgiving dinner, on Halloween.
And it was delicious.
I didn't like my own turkey. Everybody else loved it. Of course, then again, I don't like turkey.
Fucking weird.
It's so weird. I am like, you have said I'm like some kind of fucking magic sorceress master at fucking cooking a goddamn turkey that I don't even enjoy. Because I just don't like turkey. Yeah, I've decided next Thanksgiving I'm cooking a honey glazed spiral cut ham instead. Because I know I'll eat the hell out of that. Everybody will. I like ham. I just don't like turkey.
Yeah. I love turkey.
Yeah.
I may have to get a turkey to cook.
Yeah, you...
Maybe a little turkey.
And because you did purchase the turkey, you got dibs on the carcass.
I kept the carcass. I keep meaning to do this for years, and it's super good for your health. So I took the carcass as soon as Mike was, a little after we were done with it. I just threw it in my crock pot, and it's been in there since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to add more water to boil that off, too, and just keep sucking the nutrients out of it.
Yep, making broth.
Yep.
And, like, apparently you've had some of the turkey meat and this from the crock pot, and how was it?
The meat that you cooked was fucking delicious. The meat from the crock pot is also fucking delicious. You can't have dried turkey that's been simmering in its own concentrated juices for 12 hours.
No. I mean, and it wasn't dry to start off with.
No.
And I'm going to go ahead and share this with you just real quick. The way I do a turkey is I get one lemon, one lime, one orange, and it doesn't matter what kind of orange, and one onion. Preferably a yellow onion.
Yeah.
And I quarter them all. I don't peel them. I peel the onion a little bit, but I quarter them all, shove them inside the turkey. Then I will take equal parts bacon and butter fat and stuff them under the skin of the turkey. Butter and bacon fat. I said that backwards. I pulled a U.
Butter fat?
I said bacon and butter fat. It's butter and bacon fat.
Yeah.
And stuff those under the turkey. Then I take a syringe, not a fucking meat injector, a fucking syringe, and inject the turkey everywhere I can with fucking Tropicana orange juice.
What if you put some bacon slices under the skin?
Now, I give you this recipe for you to try and fucking elaborate on. There's always a better way to make a turkey. Even if you've just made the best turkey you've ever fucking eaten, there's always going to be a better way. So I encourage people to try it. Thinking about actually getting one of those thick bore meat injectors, and actually, I've seen it where they have like where you can inject solid food into fucking meat. So think about injecting bacon bits into the fucking turkey.
You know, I had an idea last night.
What up?
So, you know what a sous vide machine is?
I've never heard of that.
You have to, actually. On the Food Network, you vacuum seal your food and put it in this immersion bath that cooks food to very precise temperatures.
Yeah,
so they'll cook eggs at like 100 degrees for 24 hours to make the perfect hard-boiled egg or something.
Oh, wow.
Where the inside is completely runny yolk and the outside is completely cooked hard-boiled egg.
Oh.
Yeah, you can do amazing things like that. You can cook steak to the exact medium-rare temperature. So I was like, because I've seen tutorials on how to build one of those machines. What if we sous vide an entire turkey to the internal temperature to make it 100% perfectly juicy? What is it, like 160 degrees or whatever?
165 degrees internal temperature.
Yeah, bring it out and then hit it with like a flamethrower. to crisp the skin.
One of these days, I'm going to have to come off my fucking high horse and just buy the fucking turkey deep frying kit.
Yeah.
I love deep fried turkey, but I've never made one.
It's the best way. Yeah, Halloween, Thanksgiving, awesome day yesterday, full tummy, it was a cheat day.
The funny thing is, the first half of the day completely felt like Thanksgiving. We had the Thanksgiving spirit. Yes. I mean, it smelled like Thanksgiving, even when we were out in the world. We just had this complete Thanksgiving frame of mind, so much so that when we went to the store and saw one of the cashiers, when I saw one of the cashiers dressed head to toe like a witch, I'm like, what the hell is she doing dressed up like that on Thanksgiving? Had that one brain fart moment. But what was funny, we ate this glorious meal, and then in the middle of the day, we all wanted to take a nap. I actually did nap a little bit off and on, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. What happened to the cheese balls, can you ask Michael? Well, tell her they're in the refrigerator. Sorry, texting interruption. Any fucking way. And then after that, all of a sudden, bam, it was Halloween frame of mind.
Yeah.
It's like our minds just transferred, because after that little restful period in the middle of the day, we all started costuming up, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it was literally like we jumped from one holiday backwards to another one.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, so we live out in a fairly rural area.
Oh, yeah.
There's no walking around trick-or-treating out here. The next house is, half mile or something down the road, and then it would take us all night to get like four houses or something. Not even going to happen.
No.
So my idea was to go into, we'd pick one of the richest neighborhoods in Nashville and go there. And that's what we did. We ended up finding a subdivision.
Well, it was actually two subdivisions.
Yeah.
I mean, we only went to a couple of places in the second one.
Right.
But I mean, these were like apartment condo type deals in the Brentwood Franklin area, which is a very, very well-to-do part of Middle Tennessee. And, I mean, well, first, getting ahead of ourselves here. First, because it was going to be raining, I came up with the idea, hey, I wonder if any malls are doing trick-or-treating things. Because, I mean, like walking around a mall, a bunch of stores, you'd be in out of the rain. In theory, it was a great idea. So we go to the Cool Springs Galleria out in Franklin to see, you know, see how it does. We're in there for about an hour. Kids ended up with like six things apiece in their damn buckets. I mean, some of
them. Hold on.
Not all of it was candy. Most of it was not candy. They ended up with a bracelet and a coupon. They were giving out fucking coupons to kids.
Yeah, which is ridiculously stupid.
And, I mean, after so long of that, we're just like, screw this. We were in there over an hour, and the kids only had less than 2 inches of stuff in the bottom of their buckets, and to be honest, most of that was from a couple of relatives they stopped at before we even got there. So, then we went with James's idea, and I wasn't trying to bash James's idea. I was just, you know, trying to figure out how I can get, you know, my kids the best Halloween.
Well, in Mike's defense, it was actually calling for rain, so Mike was like, if we go inside to a mall, chance it won't be raining, we can trick-or-treat that way.
Yeah, great idea on paper, shitty idea in reality.
Yeah.
So then we go and do the subdivisions, and these people, good God, they were so generous with the candy. Big handfuls in each bucket. And, I mean, I hardly saw anything remotely close to generic in their buckets.
Snickers and Kit Kats. And,
oh, God, they were getting all sorts of. Right now, I've got a damn pocket full of Almond Joys because my daughter hates them.
I don't blame her on that one.
I love Almond Joys. It's the only way I eat coconut. Get
this is how I eat coconut.
Yeah.
Organic unsweetened coconut flake.
But anyway.
It's the texture, James. I can't see the texture.
So in other words, yesterday we had a good Thanksgiving and a pretty good and interesting Halloween.
That's a twofer.
Yep, that's a twofer. Alrighty, and before we really get into the meat of everything, I just want to remind you that the Survival Punk Army does want you.
Yes, so I can buy candy.
I want
candy. You get discounts to vendors on the interwebs. You get podcasts and zip files to download conveniently. Jordan, you cannot have chocolate. You are already fat fatty. That's my cat. He's trying to steal an Almond Joy. No Almond Joy for Jordan. Discounts. Zip files. cool stuff. Supporting the show so we can bring the most electrifying podcast on survival and shit and things and balls. You guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most electrifying podcast on survival. Everyone says they laugh their balls off. Even girls. Girls laugh their balls off.
Holy shit. There's women out there with balls?
I know. It's magical. Magically they laugh their balls off, and we're that good. We're not, that good, we make balls fall off.
I don't consider that magical. No, I wouldn't want
to. Not even mad, I'm impressed.
You want to go down on a girl and all of a sudden her nuts hit you in the chin?
Bam. She's a bloke.
Oh, God. A bloke.
What do we got coming up today?
Oh, coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about Deadly DIY. About how homemade guns are hitting Sydney hard and heavy. We're going to be talking about two house bills that would completely legalize marijuana in the United States.
Yay!
Our main topic is going to be about the slavery of debt. On Nutrition Punk, we're going to be talking about how a diet lacking in soluble fiber promotes weight gain.
Or does it?
And we're going to be finally introducing Mike's Rant into the show. So let's just jump right into it with our first news story. Want to go ahead and pull that up there?
I do indeed. First news story.
Yeah.
This comes from the dailytelegraph.com.au.
Yep. Deadly DIY. Homemade guns hit Sydney streets in record
numbers.
Look
how janky that thing looks, dude.
That looks like something out of Mad Max, doesn't it?
It's terrible. Look, I've seen better.
Is that a knife handle? Or
I don't know.
That looks like the hand. Oh, my God.
It is terrible.
Oh, that is messed up looking, but that is a homemade 9mm pistol made out of easy-to-buy items.
Yeah, you know, and like zip ties, y'all.
And before we get into that, this reminds me of a year or two ago, this dude did this whole thing where he went into airport. He got past airport security and everything to the duty-free shops and proved that you could buy certain items at duty-free shops, the correct items to make a homemade bomb. After you get past security.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I saw this whole fucking thing on it. This is before we started doing the podcast, and we sure as shit would have talked about it. We need to fucking find. You need to research that because I would love to talk about that on the show.
To me, that sounds like a plot line from Limitless, the TV show. Rod getting past airport security and building a bomb from like the concession stands and shit.
Well, I like the episode that we watched yesterday where he was riding around on that bus. Buying parts to make those like bomb models, and then fucking talk, and then like playing therapist to everybody on the bus. I love it. Right before he gets off the bus, he turns around. We should all get together sometime.
I love how he becomes so social and outgoing on the NZT. But anyway, if you have NZT, I'll trade you Survivalpunk memberships. Just saying. they're known as junk guns, deadly firearms made from jumble of copper, pipes, bike parts, old power tools, and held together in cable ties.
This is just basically an updated version of the zip guns I used to make.
Sadly, I've seen zip guns that look better than this, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Record number of homemade guns were made from materials easily sourced at local hardware stores or hitting the streets with teenage boys in the city's southwest and outlaw bikey gangs. Bikey?
No, I think it's bikey.
Outlaw bikey gangs at the prime market.
The weapons are made using instructions found online and include so-called pin and slam guns that use pipes to replicate a shotgun.
I've seen those.
They account for about 10% of all the firearms being seized by police. Firearms squad commander Mick Plotecki said some pin guns sold for as little as $100 and were often as dangerous for the user as they were to other people.
Most of them are unsafe weapons. They can blow up in your hand, he said. Oh, no shit. They are only single-shot pin pistols, but one shot is enough. One shot, one kill. They're easily concealable. I'm not putting that thing in, like, my pants, dude.
No, fuck that.
No. They're easily concealable, and people make them and sell them for relatively small prices. Well, I wonder what the profit margin on those things is.
I mean, hell. I mean, those are a lot of them made out of household items, so your overhead's probably pretty low.
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to move to Australia and become arms dealers. They're easily concealable, blah, blah, blah. Good criminals have the connections to get existing guns, but on the lower end, Those guns aren't available, so they move on to the next thing. We're seeing it as a growing trend.
Crikey! We seem to be seeing it more than we have previously. It does not seem to be younger males going for these pen guns, a lot of them in southwestern Sydney. They seem to be very popular, and outlaw motorcycle gang members and also some of the customers are younger males who buy them for various reasons, which we can't explain.
Extraordinary!
Hey, hey.
Do you get that reference?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at? That's a concern that they can source guns in the first place, and the fact that people can make them and sell them.
Oh, I was hoping that they would do this part right here, because I wanted to know exactly what that was made of. Like, this homemade 9mm gun was made out from parts of a bicycle frame, the grip from an outdoor machine, possibly a handheld saw.
No. That does look like a fucking hacksaw handle.
It does.
Yep.
Let's see, cable ties, metal bracket, piece of metal, and a copper tube is the barrel.
Yeah.
I mean, good lord. I almost touched your screen to try to scroll it up.
Yeah, no.
I'm so in touchscreen mode.
Mr. Plotecki said that while there was no evidence that homemade guns had been used by local extremists, it was a concern for the future. There's no evidence of that, but the community should be aware of them, he said.
University of South Australia senior lecturer Kirsten Green, who specialises in gun control, said criminals making their own guns make economic sense because it was cheaper than importing them. If they can't obtain them legally, it's much cheaper to make them than importing them, Dr. Green said. I would imagine the cost of making them would be relatively low.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when the government tries to do anything. They create an entirely new black market.
Yep.
And now the criminals are killing themselves and other people, or possibly killing other people. They create a new economy there. They're making these bullshit guns and selling them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, shit. Weapons making is, like, built into the human DNA, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And you gotta think, every weapon at some point was a homemade weapon. They've just refined the process.
Yeah.
I mean, look at fucking weapons that get made in fucking prisons, dude. There's every type of knife you can fucking think of made out of every type of fucking material. They've seen shivs made out of toothbrushes, out of fucking the earpieces on glasses and shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guy on the internet, a machinist. A genius. So the plans to make the AK-47 are so ridiculously stupid. They were made that way so that, like, idiots, villagers and stuff can make the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, being a genius machinist, made an AK-47 completely out of one old rusted shovel.
Oh, my God.
The stock was the back end of the shovel with the handle and the wooden stuff. And all of the machine he cut and folded and stamped out of the spade of it.
Oh, my God. Do you remember a while back we were talking about 3D printers and how there's blueprints for 3D printable handguns?
Yeah.
They can fire one bullet, usually. Well, it's funny. This has caught on so big. I was watching last season of NCIS, and there was, like, two different plot lines on two different shows that were interconnected, though.
Yeah.
Where the one fucking group was just 3D printing handguns. And the other one made a bomb damn near completely out of 3D printable parts.
Yeah, see, the government and the media try to crack down on technologies they don't understand. They're like, these 3D printers, they could be dangerous. Whereas, like, anything can be dangerous. But you know what? Like, the other flip side is,
it could be really fun and useful.
Eat the almond out of it.
Yeah, I eat the almond out of it first, and then I come back and eat the rest of it. I get the almond out of the way. I don't like the texture.
Yeah. Do you know? Okay, so if you buy a prosthetic limb,
it's
tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Most people can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how easy and cheap it is to 3D print a prosthetic limb? Not like a peg leg. I'm talking a bionic working limb.
It's just the cost of the printable material.
Yeah.
Look at that one. That one came in all
weird. So.
I mean, there's a million and one fucking positive, some of which are actually helpful and beneficial applications of a 3D printer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but with any fucking technology, somebody's going to use it to weapon. Somebody's going to try to weaponize it. That's human nature.
This is another example of when the government gets involved, they just make problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before, these people, if they had guns, they were at least working guns, but most of them probably couldn't get guns because they legally couldn't get guns anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're making guns and blowing themselves up. Let's move on. You should be interested in this one since you got the munchies over there.
Fuck yeah. Two House bills would completely legalize marijuana across the U.S.
Yes, and this article comes from countercurrentnews.com. It comes from February 22nd, 2015. It may actually be shot down by now. But,
oh, wait, it's that old?
Yeah, apparently so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, shit bowels. Things take a while. Yes, the United States federal government might just legalize marijuana. Two congressmen just filed two separate House bills on Friday that would together would legalize marijuana at the federal level.
Oh, God.
This means an effective end to the U.S. government's prohibition policy on the plant. Representative Jared Polis, Democrat, Colorado, recently introduced the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Act. Good job. This bill proposes just what it sounds like. Marijuana would be legal, but regulated like alcohol.
Which is what I've always said needs to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, so adults could buy it and kids couldn't, but they'll still get it legally. The bill would completely remove marijuana from the Controlled Substance Act schedules. The Drug Enforcement Administration would no longer have any say or oversight policing and regulating the plant. Instead, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and making you sad, would handle the regulation of legal marijuana in the same way they regulate alcohol.
Representative Earl Blumenauer, Democrat from Oregon, also introduced a separate marijuana tax revenue, which imposes the federal excise tax for regulated marijuana. While that might sound like a huge bummer to marijuana users, it provides a big incentive for politicians to make the progressive, to make a progressive more move on. God damn it, I can't see today.
That word is move.
Yeah, I know. I'm fucking half blind. Progressive move on legalization. States could still enact their own individual prohibitions, but the federal ban that exists today would be gone.
Boot.
Four states, as well as the District of Columbia, have completely legalized recreational marijuana. It's fucking, I get such a kick out of D.C. doing it.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. still prohibits the sale of the plant, however. But beyond that, there are 23 states that have legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes. Proponent of legalization says it's only a matter of time before there is a federal legalization. So what better time than now? While President Obama and the Justice Department have allowed the will of voters in states like Colorado and 22 other jurisdictions to move forward, small business owners, medical marijuana patients, and others who follow the state law still live with that fear that the new administration, or this one, could reverse course and then turn them into criminals. Representative Polis explained in a statement released on Friday.
Yeah, it is time for us to replace the failed prohibition with regulatory systems that work and let states and municipalities decide for themselves if they want or do not want to have legal marijuana within their borders. Representative Blumenauer said that the federal prohibition of marijuana has been a failure and a profound waste of tax dollars that have needlessly ruined lives.
Mm-hmm.
As more states move to legalize marijuana, as Oregon, Colorado, Washington, and Alaska have done, Blumenauer added, it's imperative the federal government become a full partner in building a workable and safe framework.
It's like I always say with prohibitions, like the great prohibition of alcohol back in the day, what with Elliot Ness and Al Capone and all that shit. Basically, the government needs to realize it was a hell of a lot easier during prohibition to get alcohol than it was afterwards. And actually, legalizing it made it harder for people to get, believe it or not.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. When things are regulated, you kind of got to follow regulations and it deprofits it. Deprofiting things makes it harder for people to illegally distribute it.
Yeah, and I'm not one for extra taxes, but I mean, hell, think about it. Legalization of marijuana from a tax standpoint?
Colorado's enjoying the fuck out of it.
Hells yes, they're enjoying the fuck out of it.
I want to say it was $19 million in tax revenue.
And crime is down.
And crime is down.
Not just, you know, the marijuana crimes, but violent crimes are down.
And school scores are up because they're dumping a good portion of that tax revenue money into the school system. So these kids aren't dumb anymore.
There is, like, nothing bad that could happen from the federal legalization of it.
But it turns your kids into Satan worshippers, though.
Oh, yeah. You know, that accidentally kill each other all the time. That's according to those fucking anti-pot ads.
Yeah. If anything, it drives up profits to Doritos.
Fuck yeah.
Cool Ranch Doritos. I gotta get those next cheat day.
Honestly, the only one of those fucking commercials that I ever saw that made any kind of fucking sense, because they had those where the guys in the drive-thru ran over a little girl on her bicycle, or they had the one where there was two kids playing with a gun and one shoots the other. The only one of those I ever saw that was like, well, okay, that I can see, is this one boy talking about his older brother's like, my older brother does marijuana. He's never robbed a bank. He's never accidentally killed anybody. He doesn't steal. As a matter of fact, he's never really done anything.
Yeah, he's just sitting on his chair playing video games at like 40 years old or something.
Yeah, laying on the couch, just crashing. Yeah. I mean, which, yeah, some pot smokers will do that.
Yeah.
Some pot smokers will actually fucking... And I know I hate to invoke the name of the almighty Kevin Smith here because you're tired of hearing it from me, but he started smoking weed and became more productive than he ever had in his entire fucking life. He made several more movies that were actually better and working their way back toward what made him great in the first damn place. And he built an entire podcast network, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Pretty much the first of its kind and definitely the most popular one. But, yeah, weed ain't bad.
Nope. Legalize it. Hell's move on with life.
Yep. And speaking of moving on, it's time for our main topic, the slavery of debt.
Yeah. So you may or not know this, but me and Mike, neither of us have any debt. I mean, we have bills.
Yeah. I got some medical bills.
You got some medical
but I'm paying on I need to write that check.
Gorilla podcasting. Yeah. But I mean I don't have a car note, I don't have a house, I don't have a mortgage. Mike doesn't have a mortgage. And I realized years ago, I've never really been able to tolerate debt. That was one of the major reasons why I dropped out of college. Like, I saw that the debt was adding up. It was like $5,000 after a year in college. And I was like, you know, like when you're 22 years old, how many times have you seen $5,000 in your life?
When I was 22?
Yeah. That was a magical number.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, paychecks back then were, what, my God, like 200 a fucking 2 weeks or something?
When I was 22, when I was working, I mean, hell, one
year... When you weren't laid out, pot smoking up, playing video games.
I mean, fucking shit, dude. 1 year back in the day, I had like fucking 16 jobs in 1 year, and I'd made a grand total of $7,000.
Good Lord.
Yeah. For the year, I was kind of a bum back then, dude.
Yeah.
I would quit jobs for any fucking reason. Oh, you just pissed me off. See ya, bitch.
Yep, yep.
What, you want me to do this? Fuck you. See ya, bitch.
Yeah, yeah. But as you get older, you get sucked into the slave trap.
Yep.
And I see a lot of people get sucked into it, and I'm just like, you're fools. You're fools. You know, it's the, you gotta make more money so you can pay for your more expensive house, pay for your more expensive car, you know, and then gotta get married and have, you know, what, an expensive wedding that you go into debt for, to have the honeymoon that you go into debt for, and then you have kids that you go into debt for, you know, debt, and you're stuck in the system.
Oh, God, yeah.
You don't have any opportunities because, you know, you can't leave your job because you'll be in debt and you'll be fucked. You'll lose everything that you have that fills the hole in your soul that you don't need in the first place. I mean,
it's a horrible fucking place to be. And unfortunately, most, if not all of our listeners are probably in some kind of a debt.
And a lot of them want out. I heard this on the Survival Podcast years ago, and they're like, Jack Spirico was like,
probably
he's like, a lot of you want to live the life of a broke redneck, and you don't understand how you can afford that. Ask the broke redneck. He doesn't know how you cannot afford that life.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to have a trailer on some land and not work your ass off all the time.
First off, buying some land, I mean, sometimes land can be expensive, but you go back out in the backwoods and shit, I mean, you're probably going to get a good deal on it. And second off, trailers, as a pair, you know, compared to like regular fucking permanent houses and shit like that, are a hell of a lot cheaper. I mean, when the trailer I'm living in, I mean, it was like $20,000 or $22,000, I think.
Yeah.
When I bought it, and it's paid off now.
Yeah.
And didn't get, I mean, and I didn't spend fucking 30 years on mortgage payments paying it off either. I did pay it off early with a little help from my dad. I'm going to be honest about it. But still, I had paid off well over half of the fucking debt on it by the time he sells his house and's like, son, I want you to be out of debt. And just as a gift, fucking pays my house off.
Yeah.
Well, paid it off just shy of paying it off. I still owe like $700.
Yeah.
Like two more house, like, I had made like one more fucking house payment and it took it down. And then I realized that there was money in this escrow account. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Yeah, I'll be honest. I had no idea what the fuck this was. And they're like, oh, this is extra money that we take out and we hold back, you know, in case you need it for like taxes or what have you. Or if you miss a payment.
Right.
That way we don't, you know, you don't default on the loan. I'm like, but there's more money in that than I have left on the house right now. They're like, yeah, if you want, we can just use that and apply it toward what you owe. I'm like, do it!
Do it, meow. Yes.
Not only did they do it, they sent me a check for what was left in the escrow account.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't much. It was like $100, but still.
Yeah, but now you don't have a mortgage payment.
Nope, haven't had one in quite some time, and I am so happy that $400 is just not being zapped from me on a regular basis anymore.
Yeah, I took a different route, and I live frugally, and I paid off my car, and that's paid off now, and I own my tiny house, so now I'm allowed to basically live next door to my best friend.
Yep, yep, yep.
Not work my ass off.
Nope, nope, nope.
I don't care about my job. I show up, I have a job that's sort of physical, which I like, and I don't care about it, I don't stress about it. I make enough money to pay my bills.
Yeah.
And I still eat paleo 80% of the time.
Which ain't bad.
Yeah. So, why would you want to be a debt to your slave? I mean, why would you want to be a slave to your debt? Why would you want to be a debt to your slave?
God, your backwards talk kills me, dude. Like
it's time, like Yoda, come on now.
Like last time you told my kids, no, you're supposed to put the bucket in the candy or some shit like that. And that time you're like, hey, it's Wednesday. It's all you can eat Hooters night at Wings.
Yep. Yep.
I love how you fucking do that on a regular basis, dude. It's so awesome.
I miss all you can eat wings. We got to do that sometime.
I know. I love good fucking buffalo wings.
Yes.
I will sit there with my mouth burning, just shoving more wings in. God, I love a good fucking wing.
Yeah. Another thing that I really like. So when you're in debt and you're a slave to that debt, you miss a lot of opportunities in life.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching this stupid show a couple months ago or something on Travel Channel.
Uh-huh.
And this guy walks around the streets and he's like, do you like adventure? Yeah, I love adventure. Can you give me a week of your time right now, let's go. And then so many people were like, oh, but I can't, I gotta work, I gotta dog. And he was offering lifetime adventures. It's like, he's like, come with me right now. All expense paid trip to Japan, where I show you the off the tour book fun stuff that you'll never see. Mm-hmm. Like parachuting into like mountain caves and like all these adventures all over the world that all paid for.
Yeah.
Food all paid for.
Opportunity of a fucking lifetime.
Can't do that if you're in debt.
You can't, because you can't afford to miss that week of work.
Yeah. I mean, literally, if someone offered me like a 2-week trip to Japan right now,
uh-huh.
Well, fuck work. I'll find a new job when I get back.
And I wouldn't fucking blame you. I mean, but, like, we're both in really good places right now. I mean, I owe nothing on the land. I owe nothing on the house. Right. I owe nothing on my cars. You owe nothing on your house. You owe nothing on your car.
Right.
And you're on my land.
Right.
So, I mean, honestly, you were in the best place, though. You're single. You have no kids.
Right.
So you could just, I mean, somebody offered you, I would smack you if you didn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Fucking do it. I mean, I would fucking be upset if you let them finish the sentence.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd be shoving your ass onto the fucking plane. Unfortunately, though, I couldn't make the same thing because, well, I don't really make enough money to be able to miss that week of work, though.
Right.
Because, I mean, I do still have all these fucking bills and groceries and shit.
I mean, I have my internet and my cell phone bill and my car insurance. You know, a couple phone calls, I could temporarily shut off the internet and satellite.
Mm-hmm.
The phone could be shut down for, like, overseas travel or whatever. And the car insurance is, like, $70.
Yeah.
Now, I'll go sell plasma and pay for it and then come back or whatever.
And, you know, and I want to give our listeners a good tip real quick.
Yeah.
You know, this goes along with it. I know I'm not the only one out here. That's, I mean, for forever, I've been living basically paycheck to paycheck. What I make covers what we need.
Right.
And there's virtually nothing left over at the end. Well, I have found a great fucking way to start saving money. I've been doing it for a few weeks now, and it's actually it's showing a little results. Okay, what I want you to do, I want you to pull out, go into your wallet, go into your purse, get out your debit card, and throw it away. Either that or put it up in a safe, quit carrying your damn debit card on you. I want you to carry your debit card with you one more place, though, before you do all that. Take it to the fucking ATM and get out a couple $100 once you get paid. Live on that cash, and strictly live on that cash. I mean, yes, it'll be a little bit tough at first. If you run out of money, you can then take your debit card back to the ATM and get out a little bit more money. But see, here's the thing. When you have cash on you, you see your money. You physically are holding your money, and you watch your money dwindle away.
And you feel an aversion to spending it.
Yeah, because you want to keep that money just in case you really do need it. People don't have that same psychological hang-up with a debit card.
No one has, like, fear of breaking a 20-itis with a debit card.
Uh-uh.
Oh, I can't get that. I got to break a 20. Put something back.
I mean, and I've heard a lot of people say this. I hate breaking a 20. Once you break it, it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking true. I mean, if you can watch your money leaving you, you're going to be a hell of a lot more careful about how you spend it.
Yeah.
And since we've started redoing this, because back in the day, we didn't have debit cards. I'd get paid. I'd leave the money in the bank to pay the bills. I'd put enough money in the bank to pay the bills and then some.
Yeah.
And we'd have cash on hand, and we'd just spend that cash. If we ran out of cash, oh shit, well, fuck. We're out of fucking cash.
Yeah.
I guess no more frivolous spending or whatever the hell.
Right.
I mean, with a few short months, I'd saved like over $5,000, damn near $6,000.
Oh my God.
And I've started doing this again.
Right.
I take out between $300 and $400 when I get paid, split it between me and my wife, and that's it. That's what we spend. And, I mean, and within the course of a month, I already saw that the non-spent money in the bank account start adding back up.
Right.
It isn't, you know, gotten astronomical or anything like that, but it's fucking working.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a great way. I mean, if you're always worried about fucking, you know, I know it's a little bit off topic from fucking debt, but, I mean, when you're in, okay, but it fucking lends to it in as much as you want to have money put back to keep yourself out of a worse debt.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen. You never know if today's the day the fucking fuel pump on your car goes out.
Oh, my God.
You don't know if today's the day where you accidentally fucking get two flat tires. Which I am prepared for. I've got two spares in my car. A full-size spare and a donut. So, woot woot.
Yeah.
I don't like fucking having flats.
No.
But back on topic.
Yeah. All that allows you, I mean, getting out of debt allows you to save more money. I mean, you're not, It's hard to save money when you owe so much debt. Consolidating your debt. Before I've called my insurance company and demanded a lower rate, and they're like, they looked and we got nothing for you, bro. And I'm like, all right, fuck you. So I called another insurance company, got a quote, got them ready to take me. Called back the first insurance company, told them what the other insurance company found me, and they're like, give us a second. Okay, we found this discount. We got you, bro.
Yeah, they don't want to lose the business.
No, when I was actually like. All I've got to do is call them back, and I'm done with you. They're like, okay, we got something. We were lying to you. It was just marketing. Fuck.
You know, and I've tried that tech, and I've had it work, and I've had it not work. Actually, yeah. I've had it not work more than it's worked, though,
yeah.
With my car insurance. Like, I used to have, and I will, okay, I won't say names, but I used to have a car insurance that rhymed with Regressive.
That's who I have now.
And they kept jacking my fucking rates up. They did. I mean, I started off paying like $70 a month. By the time I left them, the bill had gone up to $121. I mean, and I hadn't been in any fucking wrecks or anything. They just kept fucking raising my rate. And I'm like, you're pissing me off. So I start shopping around. And I go to an insurance company that rhymes with Ryko. And I tell them, you know, what I've got, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, okay, we can give you a $75 rate. I'm like, sweet. I tell you, I don't want to make it definite right now, but I will call you back tomorrow. I immediately get off, and I call Regressive.
Yeah.
And I tell them, look, Ryko is offering me $75 a month for the exact same vehicles. If you meet their price, I'll stay. They refuse to meet their price, so I'm like, fuck you, and I switch to Ryko. After a while, Ryko started increasing their prices. Not as much as Regressive did, but a little bit. And I'm like, I'm trying to get all my bills down.
Yeah.
It's become my mission in life, whatever I can do to lower my bills. So I call another company that rhymes with Rate Farm. And they say, hey, we can give you the same stuff.
But you have to keep this chicken in your car at all times.
Well, there's that. And it was like, their rates were like damn near $20 less a month. So I'm like, okay, I'm not making this definite. I'll call you back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Called Ryko back. I'm like, hey, Rate Farm says they can do it for this. Meet their price and I'll stay with you. They refused to meet their price. That's said there's so nothing weird. They could do. So I walked away from them and now I'm with Rate Farm.
Huh.
It doesn't work for me for some reason. I got no juice. I've had them offer me discounts that will get it down a little. Regressive wouldn't even do that. Ryko tried. I had to call
several people there.
Ryko tried, but I mean, anything I can do to get my damn bills down.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm pissed off at the water company right now.
Yeah.
They read my fucking meter wrong 2 goddamn months in a row and then tried to hand me a $200 water bill.
Did you talk to them?
I have talked to them.
What did they say?
They asked me to get the numbers on my meter and call them back because they said that even what they have for skipping 2 months, because first month they read it wrong and I got charged like $3.20. The next month they put down that I hadn't used any water whatsoever, so my water bill was zero.
And oh, then, so they didn't give you a bill for 2 months. I mean, basically $3 is not a bill. I mean, really.
No, but even that. My fucking usage is way higher than my average is. I average between 5,000 and 7,000 gallons a month.
Yeah.
And this is saying that I'm way over 20,000 gallons.
No.
Even skip, yeah.
I imagine with me here, and that you have 2 teenage boys, your water consumption would go up, but not between 5 and 20.
Not that fucking much.
No.
And I'm a
if you said 15, I'd be like, that's...
I'm a Nazi with the faucets. Hell, you know that.
Yeah.
How many times before I understood what was going on with the hose that I keep cutting that fucking hydrant off?
Yeah.
And I will fucking listen for fucking drips. And I think I'm hating to say
your
this.
Bathroom sink drips.
There's a fucking leak under my house that I have to get fixed. I know it's there. I can fucking hear it. And it's driving me crazy.
Oh, yeah. You get that fixed. Oh, debt.
But do everything you can to get out of debt. Work smarter, not harder. Just Get it figured out.
Yeah, and then when you're out, enjoy the fucking freedom.
And you know,
you don't have to bust your ass. I mean, you can keep working at a job that you hate for a little while, so you can stockpile cash. So then when you make the transition to not being in that job, you can have a buffer reserve.
One other piece of advice I would give people, once you get rid of a debt, like say you're paying a mortgage, and you finally don't have to pay that mortgage, that money that you would have been spending on the mortgage, don't spend it. Take it out, take that same amount of money, and put it aside. You're still living exactly like you were living before, but guess what? You're now stockpiling like fucking anywhere from $400 to $700 a month.
Yeah.
Unless you know you got one of those stupid mortgages like my. Oh
the
god,
adjustable
my
rate.
Oh no, my fuck. Oh god, dude. I don't know. This is kind of at the higher end of the scale, but the guy that I used to work for over 8 years ago, he bought this gigantic fucking house. His goddamn house, mortgage payments, dude, were over $32,000 a month.
Jesus Christ.
That was more than I made in a year at his fucking place.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Not even fucking net. Any fucking way.
Let's wrap up this segment and what we got left. Let's make this a short episode.
All right.
What do you have? You have something, don't you? You have the mic rant? No, do the mic rant.
Okay. Well, doing the mic rant here. My the first ever mic rant is going to be about Halloween paranoia.
Oh, yeah.
We live in a fucking world where it is not the norm to trust anybody. I wish my dog would shut up.
Yeah.
Because he's probably all over this damn podcast.
Rant away. Go
okay.
Rant.
We live in a fucking world where trusting people is not only not the norm, but it's not even healthy anymore. You have to worry about, especially on Halloween, and some of these might be urban legends, some of them might be or have their basis in factuality, but me and my wife just spent an hour checking all my kids' candy, just to make sure some asshole, crackhead, psychopathic fucking dick hasn't fucking put any needles, razor blades, or any kind of goddamn poison in it. We're checking to make sure the candy's got plenty of air in it. We're checking for any minor punctures, tears, anything like that. Shoddy wrappers, rewrapped shit. And frankly, it annoys the piss out of me that I have to live in a fucking world to do that. Why the fuck would you want to fuck with somebody's kids? I'm asking you right now. And it's not just that. We live in a world where they actually post online the top 21 safest places to go trick-or-treating. Why the fuck should we have to do that? When I was a kid, my parents let me go out by my fucking self and run around the neighborhood taking candy from basically strangers. Anybody that would fucking do it. I mean, I wouldn't go by myself. I'd have a buddy with me, buddy system and whatnot. But we don't live in that world anymore because you wouldn't even imagine sending your kid out by themselves to go get candy because, you know, behind potentially every corner, there is a psycho, there is a pedophile, there is a serial killer just waiting to fucking eat your kid's liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. So what I'm saying out there, America, is fucking stop it. I hate the fact that this country has to be this goddamn paranoid. Can't we all just get along and take Land of the Free out of the fucking national anthem? Yeah, I'm still on that, and I'm going to be on that until they fucking do it. But this is Couch Potato Mike, and I'm just glad to get that off my chest. James?
Yay. Well.
All right, that was a good rant.
I was looking forward to finding ecstasy pills in your kid's candy, but no one gave them any in that high-class neighborhood. We should have went to the fucking projects.
Oh, yeah, come back with a bag full of fucking joints and hash.
Yeah. Oh, that's been a good episode. I'm tired. I have to sleep.
Yep. And on that bombshell, it is time for us to end.
It's time to say goodbye to all our family.
C-O-U-C-H-P-O-T-A-T-O.
Couch Potato.
Well, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
Quit being douchebags, America.
Get the DIY to get the sand out of your vagina, use guys!
Use guys!